Let's read together Ezekiel chapter 6. In this chapter, we have Ezekiel's prophetic sermon predicting the coming judgment upon Judah and Jerusalem because of the idolatry of the people. We also have the mention of a godly remnant that the Lord would preserve for himself. Ezekiel chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face toward the mountains of Israel and prophesy against them. And say, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God to the mountains, to the hills, to the ravines, and to the valleys. Indeed, I will bring a sword against you, and I will destroy your high places. Then your altars shall be desolate. Your incense altars shall be broken, and I will cast down your slain men before your idols. And I will lay the corpses of the children of Israel before their idols, and I will scatter your bones all around your altars. In all your dwelling places the city shall be laid waste, and the high places shall be desolate, so that your altars may be laid waste and made desolate. Your idols may be broken and made to cease. Your incense altars may be cut down, and your works may be abolished. The slain shall fall in your midst, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Yet I will leave a remnant, so that you may have some who escape the sword among the nations when you are scattered through the countries. Then those of you who escape will remember me among the nations where they are carried captive, because I was crushed by their adulterous heart, which has departed from me, and by their eyes, which play the harlot after their idols. They will loathe themselves for the evils which they committed in all their abominations. And they shall know that I am the Lord. I have not said in vain that I would bring this calamity upon them. Thus says the Lord God, pound your fists and stamp your feet and say, Alas for all the evil abominations of the house of Israel, for they shall fall by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. He who is far off shall die by the pestilence. He who is near shall fall by the sword, and he who remains and is besieged shall die by the famine. Thus I will spend my fury upon them. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. When their slain are among their idols all around their altars, on every high hill, on all the mountaintops, under every green tree, and under every thick oak, wherever they offered sweet incense to all their idols. So I will stretch out my hand against them and make the land desolate, yes, more desolate than the wilderness toward Diblah, in all their dwelling places. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. Let's begin our study of Ezekiel chapter 6 with some background notes. In chapters 4 and 5 of Ezekiel, we saw a series of object lessons or dramatic actions that Ezekiel performed to convey the truth of the coming fall of Jerusalem. Remember, Ezekiel at this time was already a captive in Babylon, but the fall of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple had still not yet taken place. But it was only a matter of time before Jerusalem would fall completely to the Babylonians and the rest of the people would be taken into captivity because of the idolatry and immorality of God's people Israel. So in a series of prophetic signs, Ezekiel dramatically portrayed God's coming judgment on Jerusalem. Ezekiel acted out these prophetic signs before his fellow captives in Babylon. He built a model city representing Jerusalem. And then he built a miniature siege wall and ramp against the model city and placed miniature battering rams and battle camps all around this scaled-down city of Jerusalem. So if you like playing with toy soldiers and building dioramas, then you would have liked this part of Ezekiel's mission. But you may not have liked the next stage of Ezekiel's dramatization. Ezekiel had to lie on his side for many days and go hungry and eat the bread of poor people baked over a fire using dung as fuel. All of this, remember, was to symbolize the coming famine and harsh conditions that would exist when Jerusalem was put under siege by the Babylonians. And then Ezekiel had to shave his head and beard and divide his hair into different categories to illustrate how God would allow the people to be cut down and destroyed in various ways because of their sin and disobedience. All of these action pictures were part of Ezekiel's silent ministry. It was like mime and very effective for communication. Remember that God told Ezekiel back in chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, that some of his ministry would be unspoken and some of it would be spoken. So now, here in chapter 6 of Ezekiel, God opens Ezekiel's mouth and Ezekiel pronounces God's judgment on Judah and Jerusalem in a prophetic sermon. That brings us now to our doctrinal or teaching points. Doctrinal point number one, God judged the idolatry of Israel because of his holiness. God judged the idolatry of Israel because of his holiness. Question, why in this sermon of judgment were the mountains of Israel so important? Look again at verses 2 and 3. Son of man, set your face toward the mountains of Israel and prophesy against them and say, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God to the mountains, to the hills, to the ravines, and to the valleys. Indeed, I will bring a sword against you, and I will destroy your high places. The reason Ezekiel was told to prophesy against the mountains was that on most of the mountains of Israel at this time, there were altars and shrines to the pagan deities. The downward slide of Israel into idolatry went in stages. Remember, under the law, sacrifices unto the Lord were to be offered only at the central sanctuary in Jerusalem, namely at the temple. But over the years, Israel continued to sacrifice unto the Lord throughout the land, on the mountains. These were the so-called high places. At first, only sacrifices to the Lord took place on these high places. But gradually, as idolatry infiltrated all of Israel, altars and shrines to these foreign gods and idolatrous images were built, and sacrificing to these pagan deities took place more and more. Besides the altars for sacrifice, there were also altars for incense built on these high places to offer up incense to the pagan gods. Furthermore, in the shrines on these high places, the immoral practices of fertility rites were carried out, which included idolatrous religious prostitution. We see in verse 3 that even the ravines and valleys of the land were used for idolatrous practices. All of this idolatry and immorality would be judged as God brought in the Babylonians to conquer Judah. Look again at verses 3 through 7. Indeed, I will bring a sword against you, and I will destroy your high places. Then your altars shall be desolate, your incense altars shall be broken, and I will cast down your slain men before your idols. And I will lay the corpses of the children of Israel before their idols, and I will scatter your bones all around your altars. The slain shall fall in your midst, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And verse 13, then you shall know that I am the Lord, when their slain are among their idols, all around their altars, on every high hill, on all the mountains, under every green tree, and under every thick oak, wherever they offered sweet incense to all their idols. Notice that the people would be killed in front of the idols of the very gods they worshipped. These pagan deities were powerless to rescue their followers. In verse 11, we read, thus says the Lord God, pound your fist or clap your hands and stamp your feet and say, alas for all the evil abominations of the house of Israel, for they shall fall by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. This is really the response of the godly remnant. Pounding the fists or clapping the hands and stamping the feet in this context was not a sign of rejoicing, but of derision concerning the foolishness of their nation's idolatry and relief that God's righteous character was being vindicated and his righteous standards were being maintained. Verse 14, so I will stretch out my hand against them and make the land desolate, yes, more desolate than the wilderness toward Diblah in all their dwelling places. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. God had said in his law that if the people would forsake him, all of this judgment would surely follow as a result. Now notice that there is a recurring phrase in this chapter. You shall know that I am the Lord. This has been well called the holy and royal monogram. It is used more than 60 times in the book of Ezekiel. just in this chapter. It's used four times. Verse 7, you shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 10, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 13, then you shall know that I am the Lord. And at the end of verse 14, then they shall know that I am the Lord. In other words, through this judgment for their great sin, they would come to know that God was a holy God who must judge sin. God judged the idolatry of Israel because of his holiness. Doctrinal point number two, God preserved a remnant in Israel because of his grace. God preserved a remnant in Israel because of his grace. Verse 8, yet I will leave a remnant, so that you may have some who escape the sword among the nations when you are scattered through the countries. God promised that in his grace, he would spare a remnant of his people. They would be scattered among the nations, but they would not all be killed. But the greater news here is that in their captivity and dispersion, they would remember the Lord and repent of their sins and acknowledge that God had rightly judged them and disciplined them. Look at verses 9 and 10. These verses apply not only to the godly remnant that returned from the Babylonian captivity, but also to the godly remnant in Israel of the last days. There has never been a complete end to the people of Israel, as with many other nations. And God has always preserved a godly remnant of Jewish believers. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 11, and verse 5, even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Romans 11, 5. And this godly remnant in Israel will increase in number as we draw closer to the end times. In fact, a significant portion of the Jewish people will come to acknowledge the former sins of their nation. And as verses 9 and 10 here in our chapter indicate, they will know that I am the Lord. God preserved a remnant in Israel because of his grace. Practical application. Let your escape be the means of coming to know the Lord. Let your escape be the means of coming to know the Lord. We see in verses 8 through 10 that the godly remnant would come out of those who escape because they realized that God was speaking. You know, that's the way it should work. Escape can be the means of coming to know the Lord. Perhaps the Lord has allowed you to escape some accident or tragedy or terrible situation that could have literally taken your life. Have you turned to the Lord as a result? Maybe you've escaped from some bad habit or addiction. Have you acknowledged your sin before God and come to know the Lord as a result? Maybe you feel trapped in some situation right now. Listen, God can deliver you from that situation in his right time and in his right way. But now comes the big question. Will you turn to the Lord when he lets you escape? Or will you use your escape for selfish interests and self-indulgence? Let your escape be the means of coming to know the Lord.